promise that this year's Nyla service sermon will be under 3 hours, so I'm aiming for 2:58. As I said to someone earlier, I said, this is a day to afflict your souls. And if you've not afflicted them enough already, then I will afflict them now for you to help you to focus as we come to the end of this wonderful day. But we have indeed drawn to the end of another Yom Kippur. As we've moved through the month of Elul and we've been through Rosh Hashanah, we've examined ourselves for the last 10 days. Our soul searching is over, and I don't know about you, but certainly I've found in the last couple of days, and even today, I've spent more time, even this afternoon, just because the intensity of this moment, just seeking God and mentioning things that I might have got wrong and things that were out of balance, just to bring them before Him, before this shofar blast that we hear very shortly. When that blast is heard, the judgment falls. The books will be closed for this last year, and there is not a human being alive for whom that is a momentous moment, because there is no one in the strength of your own flesh, in the strength of who you are as a human being, there is not one who could stand at that moment and expect their name to be in the book of life if it was just down to you. One of the issues that we have as human beings, although we like to pretend this isn't the case, but God is just. He is righteous. And actually, if we would ever hope in our wildest imaginations that God at that moment would just say, oh, there, never mind, I understand, go on through. If God ever were to do that for us, then He would no longer be a just God. It would be a deception. But God is absolutely just. And we should thank Him that He is. Because when we view injustice in the world, when we look at things that make us angry, if it was not that we believed in God's justice, then we truly would despair. But He will bring His justice to bear. When we read in the scriptures of how His judgment has fallen and how His judgment will fall, it is because He is just. And there are many who are seeing right now in the way the world is going that His justice and judgment cannot be far away. That may or may not be true. But if it was not for Yeshua balancing the books on our behalf, none of us could stand and survive that day. The reality of all of this, though, can be overwhelming. And I think it's interesting that Rav Shaul, through all of his writings, apart from when we're talking about Yom Kippur itself and the actual theme of justice, focuses on so many other things. And I always try at the end of Yom Kippur now to move the focus on, as it were, a little bit from the justice and the judgments and everything which goes with this day, to try and move our hearts and minds on. I want to read just a little bit from the letter that Rav Shaul wrote to the Jewish community in Philippi, chapter 4. Beginning with verse 8, he says, finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Rav Shaul has a lovely way, I always find, when he's been writing to these communities and having gone through situations and sins and dealt with issues for them, whenever he concludes his letters, he always tries to leave the people, as it were, on a high note. And after so much searching and soul analysis of our human natures addicted to this narcotic called sin, we should not nevertheless at this moment in time on this Yom Kippur be sullen and downbeat. For while the Torah does paint a hopeless human picture, with God all things are possible. Redemption is and always has been His game. and is able to save to the uttermost. And that is why Rav Shaul is able to write the words that he does in his letters, and in particular, the words that we have just been listening to there. Because I believe as we go from here, in this world which is increasingly dark, our attitude should be to focus firstly, as Shaul says, on everything that is true. We are increasingly living in a world which is lying to us, whether it's through the media, through government, through whatever, or even just directly through Hasatan and his minions. When you believe something to be true, and that whispering in your ear which runs against it, that did God really say? We're living in a time when lying is not seen as the sin which it is, and the power of lying is denigrated and seen as nothing at all. We are commanded to focus, as Shaul says, on everything that is true. To seek truth, find it out and stand on it, declare it and proclaim it. Someone wittier than myself once said, we should use mental floss to prevent truth decay. Yeah. I like it. It's my kind of humour, as you can see. But you know, it just made me think how true this is. We must prevent truth decay. Because this world is shouting at us that God isn't, that the righteousness that we stand on should be dumped and abandoned, and we should now flow with the rest of humanity to wherever humanity is going. Well, we know where humanity is going. The question therefore arises with all of this is, what are we now going to fill our minds with that is going to either build us up in truth and establish the facts of any given situation in the Lord, or will we allow lie and error to creep in and to drag us away from the place that God wants us to be? As we draw to the end of today, we need to establish facts in our minds. The facts that we have been talking about throughout today. The fact that we are redeemed. When the enemy pushes in and tries to whisper to you, your salvation is worthless, it doesn't count for anything, who knows if it's even true, is it just an emotion, what if it's this, what if it's that, it's been psychologically proven X, Y and Z, and at that moment you stand and say, I am born again, I am redeemed, I know Yeshua, he is my salvation. And we need to declare it sometimes with our mouth, with our lips. We need to establish in our minds we have been set free from sin, regardless of how it may appear to enslave us and we get an onslaught. We need to again stand there and declare the truth. We need to declare and understand the truth in our minds and spirits, that we are in Yeshua able to overcome sin in our members, in our body, mind and spirit, through the persevering and overcoming power of Yeshua and what he has done. And we need to know this in our hearts and minds. The price has been paid, so live in that freedom. Going on through this list that we've read there, we need noble things in our lives. We need righteous, just things in our lives. We need things that are pure, things that are lovely. We need to listen to good reports, not bad reports. Malicious gossip, rumour. If you hear it, dump it. Do not even go there. Put it to one side and leave it. It is not going to build you up. You need to fill your life with things that are virtuous, things that are praiseworthy. Fill your lives with these things, says Shaul. Because if we don't fill our lives with these things, the world will pack it with all that negativity which it can possibly ram into your 24 hours a day. And you can tell, I think, from this short list that even Rav Shaul puts together, effectively he is saying, whatever drags you down, whatever pulls you away from God, dump it, put it away from you, move away from it. It is not having a good influence upon you. Remove the negativity from your life, I think he would say, for whatever it is, it cannot be more important than the life and freedom that God has called us to. Because yes, negativity is bondage. It will eat you away and drag you down. It's a dark cloud that will push you into a corner of depression. We should not be negative people in that way. And we know this world is doing its hardest to call down the love of many. The scriptures say in those end times, the love of many will grow cold. Imagine this. And we might think, how could this be? I tell you how it is. You put the news on. That begins to make your love grow cold. The despair of humanity. I like the news. I watch the news a lot. But I've got to be honest with you, this last few weeks or so, yes, even I have been tempted to think I need to stop watching it. Because it eats you away. The slew of negativity, of everything that is just evil, seems to be out there and reported on. And you get to a point where you think in your spirit, I cannot take any more. We need to prevent ourselves from being overwhelmed by the way this world is. However it may be growing in its evil, however it may be challenging us, challenging our faith and belief of a good God who is interested. And the world says to us, he's left you. That's a lie. God is and was so interested and is still so interested in us that he's sent his own son to die for our sins. Never ever believe what the enemy tells you, that God is not interested in this world. It cost him his son's life. That is not the profile of a God who is not interested. But we live at a time where faith has never been demanded more than what it is and will be now and through the times to come. We need to hold on to truth. We need to hold on to the good qualities of God. We need to check stuff we read on the internet and not just gullibly swallow it whole. Just because someone puts something on a website does not mean it's right. We need truth, real truth. And where do you find truth? You find it in the Word of God. And we need to have the strength and power in ourselves to go back and check things and find out what is true and make a stand for what is true. But our response in all of this, I believe, is crucial too. If we merely batten down the hatches in response, we will never see the Lord triumph, and he wants to triumph over darkness and evil. We too must be overcomers. We too are called to be those who persevere to the very end and not lock the doors, pull down the battens and the shutters, and just hope it's all over soon. That is not the attitude of believers, Jewish believers, in the kingdom of God. This is a kingdom that stands and will stand for eternity. And let the world try and batter the walls of the kingdom of God down, it will not succeed. The place where we stand in Messiah and in our God is a place of strength, of overcoming. It's a place where we will see our God rule and reign as long as we stay in him and abide in him. We must focus on the positive things that God is doing, not sink into the negativity, give in to the unclean spirit of death that now is wading and marching around the world, seemingly at liberty. We stand for life, and when we come across that unclean spirit of death, we reject it and we resist it in Yeshua's name. And we will preach life. We choose it. We project life. We give life out to others. We present life as an option to this world. And life overcomes death. We know that because Yeshua rose from the dead. Equally a wrong response right now in the face of what is happening in this world. A wrong response of this will be to take up a zeal to resist evil as if that was our core focus. I want to say again, we are not called to destroy, but build and repair. That is our call. There are many out there who in their zeal for apparent righteousness, just as Pinchas was, where he was praised for his zeal, but not his strategy, because his strategy displaced God and his righteous standards. Remember that. We are not called to be one that grabs a spear and goes and attacks those who are evil and unrighteous. That is not our calling. It would be a temptation to do so, but we must resist it. We are not called to destroy. We are not called to fight evil in this way as if this battle for righteousness was ours. We are called to declare and proclaim a positive message of the kingdom of God. We are called to declare and proclaim who and what we are and who our God is. That is my message. That is the positive message that we take to this world. Yes, it's dark out there, guys, but listen to what I have to tell you. There is a chance of salvation and redemption in our God. Turn from your evil ways and live. But we are not told to go out and force people to turn from their ways. That is not our calling. It's not a matter of what we're against, it's what we are for, who we stand for, and that is the living God of Israel. I'll leave you with some final thoughts. Some upbeat thoughts, again from Rav Shaul, to contemplate as we leave Yom Kippur. He says this: a Jew is one who is one inwardly. And I think you should meditate on those words. Because the way forward from Yom Kippur, the way forward from today, is to develop the inner Jewish values, the values that drive life in us, and then let it out by the power of the Spirit of God. Develop that inner Jewish value world inside of us through the Spirit of God. Release it upon this world. For a true Jew, says Shaul, is one who is one inside, in our hearts, in our inward spiritual being, in our inward spiritual life, not just the fact that we read the ingredients list in Sainsbury's. As important as that is, it's what is going on inside of us that truly is the power of the Spirit of God, because that is going to change things. Life is Jewish in as much as it was given to us, and we take it out to anyone who will hear it and will take on board the salvation of Yeshua. Because our values, our truths can make a difference, but it will only make a difference if you let them out and don't just batten down the hatches and think it's all getting too hard, too dark, too difficult, and just lock the doors and hope somehow that it all comes to an end soon. That is not going to make a difference. We are called to get out there and get our hands dirty, get them messy, get involved in people's corrupt and broken lives and bring life to them. That is our calling. And if, as Noah found, that no one responds, that is not your concern. But you are called to try. While it is yet light, work, say the scriptures. Being free is not just a theoretical concept. Freedom is lived out and patterned so others will see it and want it. And that is our call and our charge. For only in Him are we truly free. So let me say in conclusion, grab your salvation with both hands and keep your eyes on Him who alone has the power to redeem. And then look out for those things that are righteous, just, noble, pure, lovely, good reports, virtuous, praiseworthy, and stand on truth. Amen. Avinu Malkeinu, Father, you will prepare us and send us out from this day to continue what you've called us to. Father, I bless you, Lord, that this day you've recharged our spiritual batteries, you've cleansed us, you've made us whole again in you. Father, lift up our eyes, lift our heads to you. Lord, Yeshua is coming soon. We know it, we sense it, we can feel it. And Father, we want to be like those virgins who were prepared with oil in the lamps, prepared for what is to come, with our faith high, dwelling on the goodness of who you are and not on this negativity of this world. Father, I just pray that you'll give us the strength to reject that which is negative and find our way back to you again, our positive, good, kind, merciful and loving God. Lord, give us your heart in all of this, to reach out to those who are needy, to reach out to those who are hungry, as we heard this morning in the prophetic portion, to reach out with the good news that we have in both word and deed for those who need to hear it, regardless of who they are. Yes, everyone is our brother. Father, never let us forget the image of God in each other and in those around us, because you are able to save, and to save to the uttermost. Lord, never ever let us give up, but to see you win as many as possible, we pray. B'shem Yeshua Mashiachenu.